We're celebrating the return of the Lord. The world is still celebrating his first coming. Hello? Most of the world doesn't even know he came already. Praise God. And would you turn to Psalm 91, please? Hallelujah. Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord. He's faithful. Glory. Lift your hands to heaven and ask the Lord to fill you. Lord, let nobody leave here sober. But let the anointing and the power of your Spirit fill us that we may be one with you. That the heart, mind, and the will and the desires of Christ be manifested in Jesus' name. And in Psalm 91 and verse 1 and 2, would you read it with me, please? He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. That is very powerful. He says something very powerful here. He says, listen, he who dwells in the secret place abides under the shadow of the Almighty. And there is a shadow. There's a shadow that is over you also. And this is a place, he says, go to verse 9. He first calls it a refuge, right? A place of protection. And in verse 9 he says, because you've made that place, if you made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, he said, these are the benefits of it. He said, no evil shall befall you. He said, no plague shall come near your dwelling. He will give angels charge over you. He will keep you in all of your ways. In the angels' hands, they're going to bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. This has authority and dominion. The young lion and serpent you shall trample under your foot. He said, because you've set your love upon him, therefore he's going to deliver you. He's going to set you on high because you know his name. And when you call upon him, he's going to answer you. He's going to be with you in time of trouble. He's going to deliver you and he's going to honor you. And he's going to grant you long life. And he's going to show you his salvation. Does everybody understand? So in this, he says, under the shadow. Now, I want you to know that in this scripture here, he's speaking about there's three chambers of the tabernacle. There's the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place. And the most holy place is the Ark of the Covenant. And on the Ark of the Covenant, there's the mercy seat where the two angels sit. And their wings shadow over. And when the sun would shine through, or things would shine through, the light would shine through, you would see the shadow of the wings over. Is everybody with me? And in this, he said, look, this is the secret place. In other words, he's saying, I want you to dwell in the most holy place with me. So there is a shadow that oversees not only us, hello, but there's a shadow that you send also, that you cast. And I want to talk a little bit about this. First of all, I want to bring us to the understanding that all of this is a shadow of things to come and a representation of the shadow of the cross. Amen? So he says, if you're under the shadow, right, there's healing, deliverance, there's honor, long life, protection, and fellowship. There's healing, deliverance, honor, long life, protection, and fellowship. Has everybody got it? Ready? There's what? Healing, deliverance, honor, long life, protection, and fellowship under the shadow. He who dwells in the secret place. That's why you got to go to the secret place every day. You cannot go anywhere without going to the Lord first. You know, some people wonder why, well, man, I don't understand this. Why are they? Well, you know, most people don't even go. They don't even seek God in the morning. They just have their coffee, eat their breakfast, and say, oh, thanks, Lord, for the day. They do no warfare. They don't do anything. They don't put the devil in their place. They don't attack the devil. You know when they attack the devil? When the devil attacks them, and it's already too late. Then they need healing. Has everybody got it? Then they need healing. Well, no, you know what happens? If you'll take your dominion, your authority, with the dominion God has given you, you will always overcome sickness. It doesn't mean you won't get sick. It means you'll overcome it. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Psalm 17, and verse 6. Is everybody there? Would you read it with me, please? I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear to me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness by your right hand. O you who save those who trust in you from those who rise up against them. Keep me as an apple of your eye. Hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked who oppress me and from the deadly enemies who surround me. In other words, keep me, preserve me under your wings. That's one of my prayers daily. Lord, hide me in a secret place with you. Draw me onto your place. Cover me with your wings and feed me from your throne room. Those are the things that I ask. Because I want to be fed from the throne room of God every day. I want fresh manna to be imparted in me. That doesn't mean I'm going to understand it right away. But it means if I ask him, I know that some way along that line, during that day, there's going to be fresh manna imparted in me. I might not get it right then and there, but I know it's there. Amen? And Isaiah 30. Hallelujah. Isaiah 30 and verses 1 through 5. Is everybody there? Let's read the first five verses, please. Woe to the rebellious children, says the Lord, who take counsel but not of me, and who devise plans but not my spirit. Ooh. That they may add sin to sin, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. He's talking about the shadow. In other words, the covering of the world. There is a shadow. In other words, you and I were born under the shadow of darkness. Amen? Let's go a little further. Therefore, the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of the people who could not benefit them or be help or benefit, but a shame and also a reproach. So we see here that this here is a shadow of evil. In other words, we are born under the shadow of evil and deception. And it's talking about the word Egypt represents world, worldly ways, the world. So, you know, do you ever get around someone and you know that there's just kind of like a cloud over them? And I'll say, man, this person is constantly miserable. You know? There is a shadow over that person, isn't it? You can sense it. You can see it. And that shadow that's with that person is real. That's called a demon. You can look up on the internet and find out shadow people, you know? We're going to hit that soon. But there is the shadow is a representation of something that's covering you or over you. Does everybody understand? And you and I were born under the shadow of darkness, where the shadow that we used to cast was a representation of darkness. But there's a shadow that God is going to cast over you. Now, I want you to understand that there is a shadow that always comes forth. That's why we always go back to the cross. Because there is a shadow of the cross that is constantly there. Praise God. Go to Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49, first six verses. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb, from the matrix of my mother. He has made mention of my name. He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Who are they talking about? Jesus. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me. In the shadow of what? His hand. And made me a polished shaft. In his what? Quiver. He has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. So I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to rise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. Wow, the shadow of his hands. See, the shadow of his hands are molding you, aren't they? Amen. Go to Psalm 39 in verse 4 through 7. Lord, make me to know my end and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. That I, indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly every man is at his best state is but what? Vapor. Surely every man walks about like a what? Like a shadow. Surely they busy themselves in vain. He heats up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Amen. Every man casts a shadow because of the reflection of the sun or the light. In this realm, there are shadows. Now, in the other realm, there is none. There are no shadows in heaven, yet there is light, but nothing casts a shadow. Isn't that wild? There's no shadows in heaven. But here in this realm, there is, because the light that we get is the sun. It's the temporary light. It isn't the true light. The true light casts no shadow. You can't have a shadow. But the sun will cast a shadow. So as you and I walk around, and any kind of light that there's a shadow. There's a reflection of you. See, so you're either casting a shadow of evil or righteousness, aren't you? Go to Luke 1. You can't erase that shadow either. The only time the shadow leaves is when you're gone. In Luke chapter 1. Is everybody there? In verse 34, please. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be, since I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said, obviously everybody knows what he said, right? He said, you're going to have a child, right? She said, how can this be? I don't have a man. And the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will what? Overshadow. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, the power will overshadow you. This overshadowing of the power of God brings birth. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? It brings birth. There's sometimes you could be praying or whatever, and all of a sudden you just sense God's presence come over you. You begin to travail. What's happening is the shadow of the Most High has come over you to bring birth to something. Something that you're to pray through from the spirit realm and bring it into the natural realm. And everyone should be birthing something at some time. Because everybody's pregnant. Anybody that's walking right with God is pregnant. See, but the devil loves to do spiritual abortion. He wants to steal it before it's birthed. Or he wants to get it out before it can fully mature. Acts 5. In verse 12. And it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. They were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. They were with what? One accord. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Their faith was so up there that they were like, man, if he can't pray for me, let his shadow touch me. Let his shadow touch me, and I'll be healed. But see, I want you to understand something, that shadow that they were casting was not their shadow anymore. It was the shadow of the cross. They might not have seen a cross, but that's what the shadow was from. It wasn't their shadow anymore. Why? Because they were new in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things become new. They were brand new creations casting another shadow. Not the shadow of old, not the shadow of wickedness, not the shadow of evil, but now the shadow of the cross. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Numbers 21. See, one of the things the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are. He will always try to negate what Christ did for us on the cross. You know, you and I were birthed from the cross. When Jesus was pierced in the right, in his side, right, and it says water and blood came out, that's where you were birthed. The same thing that Eve came forth from the rib of Adam, his wife, and we are now the wife. And we came forth from the side of Christ. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. In Numbers 21 and verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Horeb by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very what? Discouraged on the way. Oh, discouragement. Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged. And the people spoke against God. You see what happens when you get discouraged? And against Moses. Then they speak against their pastor and wherever they're at. They blame everybody for, oh, man, if this ministry would do this and this ministry would do that, oh, shut up and die, will you? Give everybody a break, including yourself. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our souls loathe this worthless bread. Oh, now they began to rebuke the manna that was coming from heaven. So the Lord did something real simple. He sent fiery serpents among them. He said, okay, no problem. I think that point God finally said something that we say, enough's enough. That's it, I've had it. Let's see. Let me teach him a quick little lesson. So he sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. So he moves them out of the way. Probably the biggest grumblers. They were the ones that got bit first. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, okay, all right, you got my, I surrender. We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. Now Moses, being a holy man of God, said, okay. So Moses prayed for the Lord. Praise God. And the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. What was he talking about? The cross. See, because when Jesus was on the cross, he became the serpent. Why? Because he took all of man's sin and became the serpent. That's why he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he became the serpent. See, that's why you can go to the cross and get healed. Everything comes from the cross now. It's nothing that you have done. That's why you use the name of Jesus. Because when you say the name of Jesus, it's everything he's done, not you done. Go to John 3. The shadow of the cross. Yes. John chapter 3, verse 12. And Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. And he said to him, if I have told you earthly things and you don't believe them, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the word believe means to follow. You can't just, I believe in Jesus and still go out and serve the devil. You will die and go to hell. Just because you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior doesn't mean you're going home. The Bible says those who do the will of God will enter the kingdom. Amen? Somebody get it? Of course, if you're on your deathbed and you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going home. But why wait till you get on your deathbed? Not if you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are accountable and responsible. Building up credit. What you do now is written. Everybody will stand before God, no matter what. It doesn't matter how old you are. Young, old, it don't matter. You will all, everyone, will stand before God and be accountable. Just because somebody accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, goes out and fornicates and dies, they go to hell. Glory. Jesus would be lifted up and become the serpent where man now, all of his creation, could go to the cross because of what he has done. The shadow of the cross is constant. It's constant. Colossians chapter 2. Sure got quiet in here. Well, we got to tell the truth, right? You didn't come to get your ears tickled. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2, verse 11. Would you read it with me, please? It says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcision of your flesh, he made alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, having wiped away the handwritten writing of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having it nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding the festival or the new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substances of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility, worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, that means coming out of the shadow of Egypt. Why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which are all concerned things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Wow. You know, there's a lot of, you know, you can see this in many other organizations, like false religions, where they have these rituals, but they don't have any, they still can't overcome the flesh. They have all of these rituals, you know, But there, because there's no anointing. There's no anointing. And there's no repentance to Christ, because the blood always goes before the Spirit. So there can't be an anointing. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Old shadow of things to come. Those are things he talked about from old, the shadow of old, now being replaced with the shadow of the cross. Amen? Christ replaced the casting of the shadow of the old, and that is now with the cross. Go to John 19. Hallelujah. In verse 17. And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called a place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and two others with him, one on either side, and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Now Jesus was what? He was carrying his cross, wasn't he? He was actually carrying a cross. What? So they can nail him to it. So he was carrying his own cross that they were going to nail him to it. Amen? Now go to Matthew 27. The shadow of the cross. Yes. See, you no longer cast the shadow of old. You cast now the shadow of the cross. That's why we can go to the cross at any time. But we don't look upon the serpent. We look upon the Christ. Matthew 27. In verse 27, then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him. The whole garrison. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Oh. And they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. There was the exchange. In other words, something had to happen before it could truly happen. Does everybody understand that? So what happened? Somebody picked up his cross, didn't they? And that's what you're doing, aren't you? So the shadow of the cross was now being transferred. Once it was going to be completed, once Jesus died on the cross, now it would be transferred to you. Does everybody get it? Oh, hallelujah. The exchange of duty. Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. In verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far off and to those who are near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Why? By the cross. Does everybody get it? By the cross. Go to Philippians 3. This is why Jesus came. Did you notice that we read that he disarmed the principalities and powers of darkness? Why, those who are under his shadow, hello, have dominion and authority. Why, the principalities and powers of darkness have been disarmed so that you and I can take dominion. That's why we take dominion daily. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their own shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. There are enemies of the cross. And that's one of the things that the enemy wants to do to you, is disqualify you. Disqualify you so that you begin to cast another shadow. Are you with me? In Matthew 10. Is everybody okay? Just a simple little teaching this morning. A little remind you. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. Is everybody there? Jesus said, "Do not think I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? But a sword." Oh, hallelujah. You know how many people don't use it? How many people don't even know they have it? "For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." So we see here now, this is where the Lord, this is going to change everything. When he says, pick up your cross. Pick up your cross and follow me. Amen? It's totally different, isn't it? Why? Because you are now allowing the shadow, overseeing everything that he's done for you. Just like the exchange of that man, Simon, who picked up the cross for Christ to carry it on. That's not stopped, has it? We're still continuing. And I want to close at Matthew 16, verse 24. And again, Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world or the shadow of Egypt and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For some it will be too late. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each one according to his works." Everybody will be rewarded for whether the works are evil or righteous. Amen? It doesn't matter. Everyone will receive some sort of reward. Well, we want the reward of righteousness, don't we? Remember, there is a shadow of the cross that still continues. That's why you go to the throne. Isn't anything that you and I have done, when you mention the name of Jesus, everything is reflected back to him. When you say, "Father," he looks at his son. Does everybody understand that? Everything right now, until we awake in his image and in his likeness. And even David said that, "I look forward to that day," in Psalm 17, "when I will wake like you." Amen? Now, the Lord looks at us as complete, doesn't he? But he's looking at his son. Everything is reflected from the cross. He looks at his son. Whether you and I, or whether we're the daughters or the sons of the Most High God, everything is reflected from the cross. When you say in the name of Jesus, he looks at his son. The price that was paid, everything is from the cross. Everything. There isn't anything that you and I can do. Nothing. When we raise the dead, it isn't anything that you and I have done. When we lay hands on the sick, it isn't anything that you and I have done. When we cast out demons, it isn't anything that you and I have done. It's everything that he has done on the cross, and the shadow still covers. The same shadow that the people wanted, were so desired to see off of Peter, was the shadow of the cross. Does everybody get it? And God became flesh and dwelt among us. And his legacy continues. And it will continue for eternity. Amen? For eternity. So when you see your shadow, don't be afraid. If you're walking upright with God, it's not yours. It's the shadow of the cross. That's why he said, pick up your shadow and follow me. No, pick up his cross and follow me. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word, and we are reminded. We are reminded the price that you have paid. We thank you, Master. We are honored and blessed. And Father, we commit all things to you. Again, we ask for your forgiveness in neglecting the price that your son paid, the reason why he came, to bring salvation, to bring healing, and to pay the price that all those who followed him would receive the price that you paid. Lord, we are honored and we are blessed. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,